Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Hello there. Welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. Come on in, make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimak, and you and me, we're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. On today's program, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. You ready for the topic? I love this topic because I get to reassure you about one of the scariest things imaginable. Let's face it, death is a really scary thing, isn't it? We often become overwhelmed when we think about how frightening death is. We're afraid to die. We're afraid to suffer. We are afraid. Even if we have faith, we are afraid of the unknown. It's a scary thing. Many people are afraid of death. Today's topic goes like this. Death is not the end of life. These readings are set to remind us of that important fact. We sometimes focus on our earthly life as being our entire lifespan. Well, it's not. As Christians, we believe that once we are born, we are put on a journey which will never end. Our life is eternal. Praise God for that. Jesus wants to remind us of that fact today. You'll hear it in the gospel. You'll also hear it in the Old Testament reading today. You'll hear it in the Psalm. You'll hear it in the second reading. The message that death is not the end of life. So relax. We're going to make death a little less scary today. Sound good? All right, so I hope you could settle in. And again, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 32nd week in Ordinary Time. We are just about at the end of the liturgical year. We have one more week. And you know, man, this is really scary. This is really scary. So scary that my microphone just fell down here. It's really scary when we think about this, the fact that we are just about at the end of the liturgical or the church year. And it's coming to an end. Next week will be the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And then after that, we'll have one more Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is the Solemnity of Christ the King. And then we go into Advent. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? And this is one of the reasons you will hear in the next few weeks, this week, you heard about it last week, the following week, this idea about the end times or the end of our lives. We want to get ready. And the church wants us to make sure that we are ready. Not to scare anybody, but just that we are realizing the fact that our time on earth is limited. Sure, we're going to live eternally, but just not in this life. So we got to make sure we are ready. So that's the message the church wants to get across. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray right now, and then I'll give you a little bit more information about my work in case you want to check me out on the internet. And then we will take a look at these Mass readings for the 32nd week in Ordinary Time. Let's begin in prayer as we turn to our Heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks for, first of all, being able to speak with you. What an honor it is today to turn to you, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, Almighty God. You are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. You are all-present at all times, everywhere. There's nowhere we can go to get away from you, Father, and we're so grateful for that because we need you with us constantly in our lives. With all the trouble we get ourselves into, we are so grateful that we are able to be in your presence constantly. Father, we ask you today to speak to us through your Mass readings, through the readings of Sacred Scripture today. Send us your message, Father. Speak through me on this program so that your words can be proclaimed through my voice, my lips. Help me get out of the way so you can deliver your message. Father, we lift up all of our troubles, all of our worries, all of our concerns about death. We ask you through your Holy Spirit to speak through us to alleviate our fears so that we can trust you more and realize that death is just the beginning for us. It's the entryway into the second phase of our life. So help us to realize that, Father. We ask for this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I want to thank you for praying with me, as I said at the beginning of the show. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this program once a week. We reflect on the Sunday Mass readings. I'm so blessed to be able to have this time with you, and I hope you're enjoying the program as well. If you would like to find out more about my work, please visit my website, which is followingthetruth.com. You can find out how to book me to speak at your parish. You can find out about all of my books. You can learn more about my full-time ministry, or you can make a donation too. I really depend on your support to keep my ministry going forward. So I thank you in advance for anything you're able to do there. All right, let's take a look at these. Again, that's followingthetruth.com to find out more information. I am having some crazy problems with my microphone headset today, so that ruffling you hear in the background, that rustling, I should say, is a headset that is just not working with me today. So I apologize for that. But we're going to get moving anyway, because I want to look at these Mass readings, which are the Mass readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. As we do each week on the program, we will start with the Gospel. We lead off with the Gospel because everything else is anchored off of the Gospel. That's the way it works, and it gives us a better insight as to what the Church wants us to get out of the first and the second reading and the responsorial psalm as well. So with that in mind, we're going to look at Luke chapter 20, beginning in verse 27 today. Jesus is addressing the Sadducees, who have a problem. You'll see in this reading, they don't believe in the resurrection. So they've got a hard time with the teachings of Jesus about eternal life. If they don't believe in the resurrection, their philosophy, their religious belief, if you will, is kind of skewed in an incorrect direction. And of course, what Jesus is saying doesn't make sense to them. So let's listen to what happens here. Luke chapter 20, beginning in verse 27. Some Sadducees who deny that there is a resurrection came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all of the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry. But those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels. And they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." Now, before we talk about the main theme here, which is that there is a resurrection, that this life is not the end of the story, that there is life after death, after earthly death, we still go on living eternally. What I want to address a couple of points here that always seem to come up with this reading. This is one of those readings where us husbands and the wives, we're nudging one another, we're getting upset, or this reading can really take away our peace, those of us who are married, if we're not careful, because it almost appears as if Jesus is saying, well, in the next life, if you get to heaven, there's going to be no such thing as marriage, so you're not going to be able to see your spouse. Well, that's not at all what he's saying. What Jesus is saying, because remember, the Sadducees here, they do not believe in a resurrection. They believe in something completely different, and they are questioning Jesus, because this Mosaic law has, if a husband dies, then the wife can get married again. Let me tell you the story. There were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And likewise, all the seven died childless. So what happens is, what they are saying to Jesus, well, if there is a resurrection, then who is going to be married? This one particular woman married all these different men after the in accord with the Mosaic law. So what happens after death? Whose wife will she be? And what they're trying to do is upset Jesus and really try to go against his teaching. What Jesus basically says here, and this is the important that we make this distinction, is that marriage is a sacrament. Of course, it's an earthly institution. It's needed here on earth. That does not mean that I won't see my wife in heaven. I mean, obviously, Jesus respects the family. That does not imply that we are not going to see each other in heaven, or that we won't have a close relationship. We're going to have a close relationship, of course, to our family members, but to everyone as who is part of the body of Christ. But it's something that's hard for us to grasp, but heaven is so much bigger than the earthly institution of marriage. That's the point Jesus is trying to make. So don't let this rattle you, because marriage, the purpose of marriage is, of course, procreation, and also to help the spouses help one another to get to heaven. That's the goal of marriage. So it's a sacrament that's needed in this life. Once we make it, God willing, to heaven, then that particular sacrament isn't necessary anymore. But it doesn't mean you're not going to see your spouse in heaven. That is not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying here is that there is a resurrection of the body, and that we as Catholic Christians believe that when we die, our body and soul separate, and then at that point, we're judged, and the determination is made whether we make it to heaven or hell, or maybe spend a little time on our way to heaven in purgatory. That's an oversimplification, but that's essentially what happens. That's what we believe as Catholics. And then someday, when Jesus comes again in glory, our physical bodies will rise. We're not going to get judged again, but our physical bodies will be reunited with our souls, and then we'll have a glorified body. That's Catholic teaching. It's very complicated. It's almost something that we can't fully grasp. We can't picture it because it's so unimaginable how this is all going to work out. But that's what we believe. So we believe in a resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees at odds with Jesus are not believing that. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he transformed death. I think the Catechism of the Catholic Church refers to it as the gateway to eternal life. It's a great way to look at it. When we die, and again, like, I know death is a scary topic because people don't come back to tell us about it. Maybe people you've heard had a near-death experience. They come back and said, yes, it was pleasant. I see all these lights, and it was a good thing. But for the most part, once people die, they're dead. We don't see them again. And it is kind of scary because even though we have faith, there's a certain sense of the unknown about it, right? That's okay. It's okay to be a little scared about it. But the more you get to know Jesus and the more you fall in love with him, the less scary it becomes. I will say that. And what he's trying to tell us today is that we're going to live forever. And, you know, this is a tough thing to sometimes to believe or to really become all in on what he's saying here, because we have that aversion to death. So many people, I talk a lot about overcoming anxiety. I've written extensively about it. I speak about it. Many, many people are afraid of death because of that unknown aspect to it. I mean, you have to trust that what Jesus is saying is true. But that's faith allows us to do that. So that's the whole point of this gospel, that this life is not the end of the story. So let's flip this around a little bit, and let's talk about that a little more. If at the present time you are suffering, maybe you have a physical ailment of some kind, maybe you're struggling financially, maybe you're really lonely, take comfort in the fact that this life isn't all there is. It's a good thing, isn't it? That's what we believe as Christians, that this life is just temporary. It's passing away. This is part of that theme at the end of the church year. This life, it ain't going to last forever. And if you're suffering right now, if you're going through a hard time, take comfort in that fact. Any suffering that you have in this life, it's going to be gone one day. It is temporary. It is not a permanent condition. One day, you will be able to live forever with the Lord in heaven, where there will be no suffering. What's the trick? The trick is we got to make sure that we make it there. So we have to cooperate with the grace that He gives us. He's going to give us everything that we need to make it to heaven, to live with Him, to be a saint, because that's what it means to live in heaven, to be a saint. But we have the ability to mess it up. But we got to work at messing it up. I mean, it's not, you know, sometimes we get too hung up over the fact that I can't do it, I can't be good. Well, the Lord is really giving us what we need. He gives us the grace that we need to make it to heaven, to become a saint. Just stick close with Him. Receive the sacraments as often as you can, the Eucharist, confession, and read your scripture. Let Him speak to you. You speak to Him in prayer. If you do that, if you get to know Him, you'll be okay. Don't let it become overwhelming. Yes, you can be a saint. We were all called to be saints. I don't feel very saint-like at times. I mean, I almost never feel very saint-like. That's okay. The Lord can work with me. He can make me holy, but I just have to let Him and His Holy Spirit work in me. Okay, so that's what the gospel is all about. Now, the first reading continues with that theme. We go to the second book of Maccabees, beginning in chapter 7, verse 1. This occurs a couple of hundred years before Jesus was born. So we're at that period of time before Jesus was born, and the Israelites at this point are trying to be forced to go against their religious beliefs. That's what you're going to see in this reading. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. One of the brothers, speaking for the others, said, "What do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." At the point of death, he said, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the king of the world will raise us up to live again forever. It is for his laws that we are dying." After him, the third suffered their cruel sport. He put out his tongue at once when told to do so, and bravely held out his hands as he spoke these noble words, "It was from heaven that I received these. For the sake of his laws, I disdain them. From him, I hope to receive them again." Even the king and his attendants marveled at the young man's courage, because he regarded his sufferings as nothing. After he had died, they tortured and maltreated the fourth brother in the same way. When he was near death, he said, "It is my choice to die at the hands of men, with the hope God gives of being raised up by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life." You know, this is an amazing example of people who are willing to sacrifice, to literally die for their religious belief, to die for their faith. This is what the martyrs did. They would die out of love of Christ. They would not deny Christ and be put to death, because they realized that death is not the end of life. They realized that one day they would be reunited with the Lord. When I look at martyrdom, I think, oh man, there is just no way. I can't even imagine that. So I don't think I'm crazy, but I think it's a great grace to pray for the desire to be willing to be a martyr. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but can you imagine if you had that kind of strong faith that you were willing to even die for your belief in Jesus Christ? And, you know, we are oftentimes, we live in a society that is very anti-Christian, very anti-religion, and we're pretty much told there's an implication. We're pretty good still in the United States. There are many countries that have it much worse, but there's an implied or sometimes not so implied commandment that we as members of society should keep our faith to ourselves. It's not welcome in the public arena, if you will. But the thing is, we've got to be willing to speak out for the Lord, to really share our love for Him with others, because that's how conversion comes about, by people who stand up for their religious beliefs. I'm not saying go out and be nasty, be confrontational, but I'm saying don't be afraid to talk about your love for Jesus and how He has changed your life. That's a good thing. We're called to witness in that way. But here in this first reading, from the second book of Maccabees, we have an example of what it means to say, I don't care what you tell me. You're not going to tell me to deny that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, and I'm putting it in today's terms. I'm not going to deny my belief in God and go against my practices just because you're threatening me with death. Go ahead and kill me, because you're not going to really kill me for good. You're just going to kill me in this life. If that's all you can do, go for it, because then I'll be a martyr and live with the Lord in heaven. Again, that's really hard to understand, but that's what grace can do. So we should all pray for that grace to just be willing to do that. Again, it's probably not going to happen to you, so don't freak out when I'm telling you this, but just imagine what a great witness you could be and how close to the Lord you can be if you are willing to even have your very life taken from you. Why? Because you know you'll live with him forever in heaven. That's what the martyrs believed. And that's why it's so great to look at some of these lives of the saints who were willing to die for their faith. And look, they weren't born saints. Look at the life of St. Paul. This guy was a persecutor of Christians, and yet he was willing to give up his life for the Lord. Why? Because he had that encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and it changed his life forever. The same thing can happen to you and me. That's where our peace is going to come from. That's where our ability to be happy and joyful in the midst of persecution and suffering and whatever happens is going to come from. It's going to come from that encounter with Jesus Christ. Work on it every day. We should work on it. It's something I have to fight to do every day, because I have a tendency to become discouraged and become down and look at my circumstances and get bummed out. But if I start focusing on Christ, if I make that connection with him each day, and again, the sacraments are really important in this, then my peace gets restored. And I'm willing to trust him. But it happens when you get to know him, all right? That's the first reading. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 17. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. You can have joy in this life, but there's still going to be a lot of suffering in this life. It's part of life. This is temporary. Just keep telling yourself that. It is temporary. Yeah, you can have peace here, but you're still going to have some suffering. That's okay. It's not going to last forever. Hear, O Lord, a just suit. Attend to my outcry. Hearken to my prayer from lips without deceit. My steps have been steadfast in your paths. My feet have not faltered. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my word. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. But I, in justice, shall behold your face. On waking, I shall be content in your presence. Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full. That's this idea, once again, of our joy will be full once we come face to face with the Lord in heaven. We're always going to be, we can have that joy with him through our relationship with him in this world, but there's always going to be obstacles. It's never going to be as full as it can be until we get to the next life. So again, you start thinking more and more about that, and you start meditating, and meditating is just a way of thinking, just a way of thinking about the Lord and the truths of our faith. That's what meditation is. It's not anything funky. And I like to say that if you can worry, you can meditate, because worry is when we meditate on our problems, if you will. But meditation is when we focus on the Lord. We just think about the good things that he has said and all of his promises. So that is the responsorial psalm. Let's look at the second reading now. It comes from St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. And I like that. That last line really sums up what's necessary in this life, the endurance of Christ. Christ actually, even though it was hardly a pleasant experience, I mean, that's a complete understatement to say that his passion was a very, very difficult and horrific experience, but yet he found joy in that experience because he knew he was doing the Father's will. Now, again, that's one of those things, you look at that and you say, are you kidding me, Gary? That is nuts. How can you possibly find joy in suffering so badly? It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean you're not sad. It doesn't mean you're going to not shed tears, but it means there is a certain tranquility or inner joy, if you will, that comes about because of doing the will of the Father. When you suffer, when you go through difficult times, you may be faced with a life-threatening illness right now. If you stay close to Jesus, you can find that same peace that he found. And when you are suffering, and we all have a certain kind of suffering every day, sometimes it's more serious than others. When you are suffering, you have that ability to offer up your suffering, to say, Jesus, I unite my suffering with yours. Please use it. Don't waste it. Lord, please use my suffering so that I can help you with your mission. He lets us do that, and that's a great blessing. So the overall theme today is our suffering will come to an end one day. Death is not the end of life. Death is only the beginning. And I know that's a radical way of thinking, but that's what Jesus does. He causes us to think in a radical way. Death is not the end of life. So be not afraid. Stay close to the Lord. One day you will be able to live with him forever in heaven and have no problems. I mean, I'm talking no problems, no money problems, no aches and pains, no loneliness issues, no physical ailments. Total happiness with the Lord. And that's a great thing to think about, isn't it? All right. See, I told you this wasn't going to be a bad thing. When you talk about death, though, I always have to tread lightly because it's a really tricky thing to discuss. Hey, listen, if I can do anything for you, please contact me. Send me an email at Gary@followingthetruth.com, Gary@followingthetruth.com, or go right to my website, followingthetruth.com. You can click on contact and contact me there. You can bring me to your parish to speak. I'm still booking. I'm still trying to book some Give Up Worry for Lent talks for 2020. So if you want to bring me to your parish, get in touch with me, and we'll be able to set that up. Okay, so that's at followingthetruth.com. And you know, I mentioned earlier in the program, if you are able to leave a donation for me or become a monthly sponsor, you could do that for as little as $10 a month if you're able to. That would really, really help me to sustain my full-time ministry. So I'd be very grateful if you could do that, okay? I'm going to run now. Again, you can reach me at followingthetruth.com. You know what I always tell you, until we meet again, I want to remind you that wherever you go, whatever you do, be strong and courageous. I don't want you to be worried or afraid or discouraged. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I really mean that. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimek saying, be not afraid. Catch you next time on the program.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media. But today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.